Coming into today, I actually was talking to the youth last Sunday night about something, and it kind of hit me, because I've been talking to the youth and giving them some ideas about their future, and, you know, you get to the point that I'm at, and, you know, your future's not quite as way out there as it used to be. And you've got young people and their future's way out, way far away, especially, you know, when they're only 15, 16 years old. They're excited about driving. They're excited about, you know, dating. They're excited about stuff. And I got to sharing with them different things from when I was that age, because I've told the story, you know, I got saved at 14, baptized in the Holy Ghost on my 14th birthday. Saved just a couple of days before my 14th birthday. Saved for the, I don't know, 10th or 11th time, whatever it was. You know, but something really stuck with me when I ran to the altar that time. And I've talked about that. And then I just began to get really, really after the things of God. Now, some people, I think, thought that was the case because, well, you know, this young man had a special calling on his life. And my opinion about that is, this is not a special calling. It's not more special than your calling. I can't do your calling. You can't do my calling. So without your calling, we're missing a calling. We're missing something that we desperately need. I don't want people to think, you know, there's the man of God. And I've talked about this a lot, but I started digging as a 14-year-old. I started digging in the Word of God, and then this crazy thing happened. I started hearing from God. God started speaking to me, and he spoke to me a lot. And I think that part of the reason why I noticed God speaking to me a lot was because I got this idea that I was supposed to abide in the vine. And so I was thinking about that when I was talking to the youth, and I've talked to them about abiding before. And then that was last Sunday night, and in the wee hours of the morning on January 23rd, I woke up, and God spoke to me. And I heard God say, "What's up?" I almost played the video of that. How many remember the commercial? What's up? What's up? What's up? Do you even know what it was for? Does anybody?
Budweiser.
Oh, some of you need to repent. You know what it's for. So anyway, just kidding. Yeah, it was a weird commercial, and they did a bunch of them. That commercial came out in 1999. Isn't that crazy to think about how long ago that was and all that stuff? And so, you know, immediately, God says, "What's up?" And I'm thinking, "What's up? I need to repent too." And, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, that can't be what God's referring to, is that commercial. And it wasn't. But I laid there, and as I heard "What's up?", I heard the voice of the Spirit say to me, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. So turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and I'm going to be reading this. I think this is the King James Version that I'm going to be reading today. You've got different versions, and I've got the King James here on this particular time. I usually use the New King James, but I picked this one because of a certain thing about what the Lord spoke to me, because here's what I felt like God said. "Behold," here it is, Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Anybody familiar with this scripture? You've heard this, right? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." So when you write out today's title for the message, it's "What's Sup?" What's up? Did you hear it though? Jesus wants to sup with you. Jesus wants to sup with you. You are, if any man, anyone, any of y'all, all y'all, if you will open the door, he will sup with you. And so the question is, what's sup? What does that mean? Look at your neighbor, by the way, and just say, what's up? What's up, Doc? Now, some of you are just enjoying this too much. Now, I want you to take note that I looked this up and I found 64, I think I counted them correctly, 64 Bible Gateway versions of this verse. And I was looking through those 64 versions, and 13 of them use the word sup. What do some of your versions say? Dine? Kneel? Oh, meal. Yeah, meal. Anything else? I wrote some of them down. I found eat was one of them, and share a meal. And I found one that translated it fellowship. Interestingly enough, the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, whoever did that was trying to preach my sermon for me before I got there. That's what they were trying to do. Because I looked up the word in the original language, and here's what I found. It's a Greek word, diapeneo, I think. I'm not a great Greek scholar. I took a little Greek, and it took me more than I took it. I didn't do very well. But it refers to the principal meal. Think of this, the principal meal of the day, which was, for this culture, the evening meal. You know, this is a Sunday for a lot of us. The principal meal of the day on a Sunday might be at lunchtime. We gather around a table with some of our family and friends, and, you know, so we get home from church and we, you know, gather together. Or maybe we get out of church and we go to a restaurant and we sit together and we fellowship together. And we laugh and we talk about stuff and we enjoy connecting to each other. But, you know, that's not how it was in the early church, just in case you didn't know. Most of them didn't run out to Restaurant Row after the service was over in the morning. And that's just not how it worked. And so we may not relate to this culture enough to get the full significance of it. We can kind of get it, but maybe we can grab a little bit more today. Because in our culture, the principal meal, I mean, some people think breakfast is the principal meal of the day. Gotta have breakfast. And some people, lunch is a big deal because they do business at lunch. So the lunch is when they try to get stuff done. But at the time that this was written, that evening meal was the social highlight of the day. It was the big deal. Because people in these times actually spent most of their day looking for, harvesting, preparing, maybe slaughtering something and getting it ready for the evening meal. And you may not know this, but even though, you know, Mr. Kellogg, who was a Christian man, I'm told, but was a little bit of a, let's just say he was a little bit of a legalist, and he was the one who went and figured out that breakfast was the most important meal of the day. I don't know whether you know that or not, but it was actually a man named Kellogg who decided that breakfast was the most important meal of the day, because up until then, guess what was the most important meal of the day? Supper in the evening. Because most people didn't have the ability to get up in the morning and have a good meal. They would eat some leftovers from the night before, and they had to be careful of that because the leftovers from the night before, the next day, had bugs on them. Because they didn't all have refrigerators and places, so they had to be careful where they stored it. And so they ate a little bit in the morning to get a little bit of energy. That's not that there's not truth to that. And then they worked through the day, a lot of times not eating anything else, because they were very busy trying to make it through to the end of the day so they could get ready and eat together, because they had been gathering their food to prepare it, to eat it in the evening meal. And when they finally got to that point, it was finally the moment in their lives when they could go, okay, how was your day, honey? What happened today? Interesting. Did you hear about the... And then they would talk about stuff they heard about maybe during the day. And they would just, they would communicate, they would relate, they would connect to each other. That's why the word fellowship is actually a pretty good word for what Jesus wanted to come in and do. Not like today. I got to admit, you know, my wife and I, now that we are fully empty nesters, a lot of times she's getting off work late, I'm hungry already. We got leftovers in the refrigerator. Do you want to eat something tonight? Yeah, but I'm going to be late. I got this, 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 and that. And I'm like, oh, you know, she goes, just go ahead and get something. You know, find something. And I go in and I forage through the leftovers. And I'm one of those kind of people that I, as I'm foraging through the leftovers, I'm looking for the stuff that needs eaten. Sometimes it's really irritating because there's something over here I want to eat. But if we don't eat this, we're throwing it away. And I don't want to throw it away. Don't want to be wasteful. How many of you were raised in a house where you eat everything on your plate or die? So, you know, I'm trying to figure it out and I'm rummaging through things. And a lot of times I'll sit down in my recliner to eat. But I remember being a kid and I remember coming in at the end of the day after hardly eating enough during the day. And I would get off my bicycle and put it in the garage and go in and be shaking. I was hungry. Mom, can I have something to eat? Not till your dad gets home. He's not coming for another half an hour. I know. Sit down. But I need something. You'll live. And I did. Didn't like it, but I lived. And then Dad would get home and we'd have supper together. That's what we did. It was the principal meal of the day when I was growing up as a kid. And we live in a different time now. Microwaves make it like beep, 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 beep. You know, you're just done and you just shovel it in. Or maybe you got someplace to go. You grab it on the run. I try not to eat certain things on the run because it squeezes stuff out of my shirt. So I have to eat other things on the run, you know, because I'm driving and eating. And we do all these things. It's not like it was here. When Jesus said he wanted to sup with us, he was saying to us, I want to connect with you. I want to be connected to you. Pretty good this morning. Tom was talking about something very similar to this in the communion thing. He thinks about us more than the sand of the seashore. God wants to connect with us. Now, I want us to think about that connection. Because I don't believe that it, when he said this in Revelation, he wasn't just talking about, you know, natural food. He was talking something about something beyond natural food. Do you think if Jesus was sitting down with someone and having sup with them, do you think that he would just let them talk on and drone on and drone on and just be, yes, amen. Keep asking me. No, I'm not going to give it to you, but keep asking. Or do you think if Jesus actually sat down with people and had sup with them, that there was conversation, connection, relationship? Do you think he was talking back to them while they were talking to him? I think so. I think so. I think he was putting it in a completely non-sup, as we would think of it, maybe vernacular. I think he could have said this if it would have been me translating this for this morning. I would have said, "Behold, I'm ringing the bell at the door, and if anybody opens the door, I'll come in and hang out with him." God wants to hang out with you? I don't know. Maybe some of you, but I'm not sure about some of you. No. I think if we were hanging out with God, it would be an amazing time, wouldn't it? It would. I think the food would be good, but I got to tell you, if I was hanging out with Jesus, I'm not even sure I would notice what we were eating. I just think I'd be happy to be there. And I'm sure I might be telling him some stuff, but I'm also sure he would be telling me some stuff. And I would think that after I had maybe posed a couple of questions or made a couple of statements, that I would have found myself just sitting there with food, half hanging out of my mouth while he was explaining things to me, telling me stuff that I needed to hear. But I don't think he would just sit there and say nothing. Do you think God would just sit there and say nothing if he was supping with you? I want to read the Living Bible version of this same verse right now. Look, I have been standing at the door, and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in fellowship with him and he with me. So here's the picture. Jesus is knocking. In this version, he's constantly knocking. I like that. And Jesus is saying he wants to connect with us. Note again that Jesus wants us to hear his voice. So he's calling to us in the text. So here's my question. Does God talk to you a lot? I was asking this question to the youth, because I remembered being a young man and God started talking to me a lot. And it really hit me when I was talking to them that because I got to a point where I let God talk to me a lot, I probably missed a lot of stupid stuff that some of my friends didn't miss because they weren't letting God talk to them. Do you know how many people in my ministry time over these 40 plus years have said, oh, I wish I hadn't made that choice. I wish I hadn't made that choice. I wish I hadn't decided to do that. I wish I'd done that differently. I'm going to testify to you. When you're 14 and you start really going after God and he starts talking to you, you still do stuff that you kind of, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. But for the most part, I can't really look back over my life and say, oh boy, I should have done that differently. Oh, I shouldn't have made that move. Oh boy, that was a bad relationship. Oh, that was, oops. I used to have all these things. I wish I hadn't done that. What if, for our youth's sake, not for anybody in here today this morning, you know, too late for most of you. But wouldn't it be great if I could get all of our young people to get to the point where they were always going, what's up? And talking to God? But it's really not too late for us, is it? What if we can hear God's voice even more? And it hit me. There are like moments where I'm not really letting that influence of the Spirit influence my spirit the way he wants to influence my spirit. I can sometimes get sidetracked. I can sometimes get focused on something that I shouldn't be focused on, doing something that I shouldn't do, being something that I shouldn't be. I saw a quarterback. I reposted it. Some of you may have seen it. A young quarterback, the one who played for Ohio State a while back, and he was talking about his platform, that football is not his thing. Jesus is his thing. Football is just his platform to share his thing. And I went, I love that. I love that. Because you know, if your platform becomes your thing, then it's become your idol. What you do is not what you are about. Who you are is what you are about, and what you do is the platform for you to talk about who you are and tell people who you are, and who you are is somebody who Jesus is constantly talking to. Well, I no, he is. He's constantly talking to you. I said at the beginning of this message, God spoke to me while I was laying in bed in the morning. God does talk to me a lot. But it's not because I'm special. I've already alluded to that. I'm not all that in a bag of chips. Some people think that God talks to some people and he doesn't talk to other people. That's not in the Bible. Anyone who opens the door can sup, fellowship, have that communication thing going on. I don't believe God's not talking. I believe that he's constantly talking and knocking and calling and trying to get our attention. He's always anxious to connect with us, his children. I don't think the problem is with God having something to say as much as it is God having people who are having a hard time letting him say it. I got someone in Southern Ohio that I've been talking to. When I get done with this message, I'm going to send them a link. Because they've told me that God doesn't talk to them. But I know better, because they've told me these things that God has said to them, but then now God's not talking to them. And it's not always, but most of the time. See, I am aware that God talks to me all the time. Unfortunately, I'm also aware that I don't always listen. Anybody besides me, you know what you know, but you're ignoring it because you don't want to know it. One of those things, sometimes you just, God, I think I want to do this right now. So how do people hear God's voice? What are some ways? Let maybe get a little audience participation here. What are some ways that we hear God? Prayer and meditation. Prayer and meditation. Yeah, we sit and we make some time to sup. What else?
Through other people.
Through other people?
Through the Word.
Song. Yeah. Some of you have had God speak to you audibly, haven't you? Just a few. Not all of us, maybe. God spoke to me once audibly. Two words, you will. You've heard the story. I was asking him about that girl on the platform who was a preacher's daughter and was getting crowned. For those of you who don't know, she was getting crowned basketball homecoming queen. I knew she was the preacher's daughter. I said, Lord, why can't I meet a nice girl like that and marry her? And he said, you will. And I literally turned my head to look around the room to see who just said, you will. And I did. It's a good thing. He knew he had to speak audibly on that one because I was so stupid when it came to women. I got to so stupid. Chasing all these blondes. Nothing wrong with you blondes, but my wife was the one God wanted me to have, and I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, I mean, they were church and prayer meetings, but still. Yeah, we've got lots of ways that God speaks to us. The still small voice. There's lots of different ways that he speaks to us. How about right now? What if I told you you're supping right now? If you're listening, if you're paying any attention, you're supping right now. This is what's up. Why? Well, because we are hearing from God through the Word, and through the Word. And some of you encouraged one another and blessed one another and greeted one another and did all those things. And that's God too. Maybe God's speaking something new to someone this morning, but it's probably not something that's new, but maybe it's that good. You know, you got that favorite meal you like where it's just, man, I love this. Nothing better than sitting around with somebody with a peanut butter and dill pickle sandwich having a good conversation. All right, you don't like peanut butter and dill pickle. I get it. I happen to like it, but it's not really probably my favorite thing in the world. But I like it. I like it okay. You may doubt that God's talking to you sometimes. But see, sometimes we just have to realize he's talking to us maybe in a way we're not familiar with. Maybe he's trying to get us to hear his voice in a different way for a different reason. And sometimes he's just confirming things to us. And sometimes he's saying things like, not yet, wait, hold on, chill. We have heard from the scripture this morning that was mentioned, that scripture is a way that God talks to us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Through God's word, we get a lot of what God wants to say to us. If we have ears to hear, he'll say something valuable to us. And we all have access to the scripture, at least we should. If anyone doesn't, please let me know and I'll help you. I help you. I can do that. I've read the Bible a lot over the 50 plus years that I've been a Christian now, since I was 14. I've read the Bible a lot. I've read a lot of, especially some of the verses, a lot. There are verses where I can't tell you where they are, but I can quote them. We used to sing the verses. We used to sing a lot of scripture. And there is scripture in a lot of what we sing. Here's what I found out. The more I read the scripture, the more he talks to me through the scripture. And the more I read the scripture and he talked to me through the scripture, the more I got to know his voice. And the more I got to know his voice, the more easily I could hear his voice. And the more easily I can hear his voice, the less stupid stuff I do. Because he is there going, no, don't, that's going to leave a mark. Oh, bummer. You know, because he's watching over me. And he cares about me. And he loves me. And he wants to bless me. And because I'm in the habit of wanting to hear his voice, it becomes even easier to hear his voice. I try not to get so sidetracked with whatever I'm doing that he can't speak to me. And I found that if I will get him in the middle of what I'm doing, he'll either tell me, that's stupid, stop, which is a good idea sometimes, or he'll say, hey, there's something else you need to do to make this work. Have you had that happen to you where you were doing something and all of a sudden you got a download from God and you were able to do something that you couldn't figure out how to do? I've prayed that way. I've prayed, Lord, I am lost completely in what I'm doing right here. I cannot figure this out. And he's like, oh, here's what you need to do. And it works. So he doesn't just speak through the scriptures. But he does speak through the scriptures, and that's a great way for us to get better at hearing his voice. So what's sup? Sup is really that place, wherever you are, whenever you're there, where you have put yourself in a spot to hear what God's speaking to you, to connect with him so that you're getting that feedback that's supernatural, not just natural. Where you're getting that, and if I can be more cognizant of that, when I wake up in the morning, if I can say, Lord, thank you for another day. What are we up to today? Or Lord, this is on the schedule today. Help me with what I'm doing today. He wants to go with you. I mean, as long as you're going where he wants you to go. And if he's not going with you, that's probably when you want to go, oh, wait a minute, maybe I don't want to go here. I believe we can always be feasting with Jesus. Always. All the time. All the time. We are never called to fast from him. Sometimes we are called to fast from things that are interrupting our feast with Jesus. But we're never called to fast from him. Now there are times, again, where we may need to focus. Prayer and meditation. Setting some time aside. That's part of what we're doing right now. That's why this is a good time for God to speak to you. This is a great time for God to speak to you. Because he's got lots of opportunities to speak to you right now. We're sharing the word. We're sharing fellowship together. We can pray for one another. We've got prayers. We've sung some songs. We've done a lot here through which God can literally get a hold of us and say, hello. Right? It's a good thing. And when we take time, remember, he never leaves us or leaves us or forsakes us. So it's not that he's not there all the time, but when we take the time to recognize that we are supposed to be in that sup state with him all the time, when we take those moments and remind ourselves and recognize and become cognizant of it, then he can speak to us. Now, let me say this as I wrote it, because it's a little complicated. I want you to listen carefully. He is not always telling us what we want to hear. Well, let me rephrase that. He is always telling us what we want to hear. He's just not always telling us what we think we want to hear. Does that help? See, sometimes God's not telling us what we want him to tell us. He's not bringing us the answer that we want. He's not doing what we want, when we want him to do it, and how we want him to do it, and where we want him to do it, and all the things. And we're trying to get this thing. And then we get to the point where it's like, God's not talking to me. Yes, he is. You're not listening to him. How do I know this? Hello, I've done it. Hello, I've done this a lot. Is this making sense to anybody but me? We may think we need him to do this or that, and that we need him to explain something to us right now. And he doesn't always do that. He doesn't always do that because he wants to give us the peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:7. We usually want the understanding. And he wants us to walk in the peace that passes understanding. He's trying to teach us to trust him, and we're trying to get him to tell us what we want to hear so that it'll happen the way we want it to happen so we can do the thing we want to do. And he's like, that's not what you should be doing, and if you do that, it's going to leave a mark, and we don't want to hear it. So you see this? You see the some of you have been parents. You ought to know this by now. So there are going to be times when God is silent on a subject that we want addressed. And it's foolishness for us to demand answers. It's equally foolish for us to stop supping when things don't make sense. I'm going to stop supping because things don't make sense. The one who knows the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46, verse 10, knows the plans that he has for us. Jeremiah 29:11. Do you see that? I started to write that down and immediately found myself pulling from the scripture and my experience in the scripture and how the scripture spoke to me. And I wrote those things down and then realized that's this verse. That's that verse. The word is extremely powerful to speak to us. And I know because of those things that in all things God works to the good of those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose. Excuse me. Romans 8:28. So I have a recommendation for you. Hear his voice more. I highly recommend it. It's worth your time. It's worth your energy. It's worth your having a better life by hearing his voice more. What if every decision were influenced? Wow. Wonder what I'd be like if I could just stop being stupid and get every decision influenced in my life. Wow. And you know, and I'm not trying to brag here, but I was able to avoid a lot of things. I told you, I get with some of my class of 75 guys, and some of them have been to hell and back 3 or 4 times. And I avoided hell completely. At least some of the hell they put themselves through. And I'm not bragging because I didn't do it because I was good. I did it because I was supping. I'm just hanging around God. I like to be whenever I could find a meeting to go to. I was to a meeting. I liked being where other Christians were. I liked hearing the word of God spoken and preached and elaborated on. And I just liked it all. Well, you're special, Tim. No, I'm not. Stop it. I'm normal. Well, okay. Got a little of this going. But seriously, I'm just a regular person is what I meant by that. That's even questionable for some. But, it's not because I had this call on my life from the time I was born. You have a call on your life from the time you were born, too. It's not too late to do a lot of it. Maybe you missed bits and pieces, but hey, God has a way of bringing us back around. Remember, I know the plans I have for you, not the plan. He's got plans because he knew he was going to need more than one plan with most of us. So if you want to hear the voice more, if you want to hear his voice more, there are all sorts of things out there that you can do. By the way, I've mentioned this already. I'm into Deuteronomy now. Since the beginning of the year, I've been listening to the Bible while I take a shower. And I'm hearing some really cool things. In fact, I hear some stuff that I don't know why it didn't hit me that way before. And I was listening, I'm like, oh, well, that's a thought. I hadn't thought of that before. The only problem with listening to the Bible when I'm in the shower is it's really hard when you try to write it down on paper. It's messy. And
use your iPad.
Yeah, use my iPad. Just get that all soaking wet. Where and when can you listen? Maybe you have a drive every day. You could just dedicate your 10-minute drive to listening. And then 10 minutes home and listen. There are Bible apps out there that are free. You can just grab one. You could just let the word of God be coming at you. And you will be amazed. You don't have to start with Genesis, by the way. Start in the New Testament. For a season, year before last, I listened to the Gospels over and over for about 4 months. Just listening over and over and over and over and over to the Gospels. I was listening to a version of it that was what they called it was all in line time-wise, chronological Bible. And I wanted to hear the stories and the parables and everything chronologically. So I would hear sometimes the same one 3 or 4 times because it was in, 3 or 4 Gospels. I would hear it over and over and over. And it was really interesting how it just affected me. And I got all the way through the 4 Gospels and just went through them again and went through them again and went through them again. Just listening. Because that's a place where I can start to hear his voice. And it becomes powerful. You probably have some place you can. You can hear the whole Bible in a very short period of time. You'll be amazed when somebody else is reading it. And yes, you're going to miss things. And yes, there are going to be those moments where it's just the same thing over and over about the tabernacle and the offering. And you're kind of like, and I've been talking to God about some of that. And there's been some things that he's talking to me about why it was so important to number all those things in Numbers. Talk to God as if he's with you everywhere you go, because he is with you everywhere you go. And if you still think he doesn't want to talk to you, my question is, what do you think he's been doing for the last 30 minutes? He's been talking to you. Talking to all of us. He's even talking to me. How many of you have heard me say, I preach something and maybe nobody else gets anything out of it, but boy, do I. It's amazing to me the things that aren't in my notes that suddenly God just puts on my heart. Let me end with this. He is right there with you, and he will always be ready to help you with everything. With everything. Everything. Every single thing. All of it. There's nothing that he can't help you with. There's nothing he won't help you with, unless it's going to be something that's going to mess up your life. And then he won't help you mess up your life. But he'll be talking to you saying, hey, 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 that's not going to work. Well, God, it worked for my friend. It worked for so-and-so. He did it this way. Are you sure it worked for him, number one? And number two, even if it worked for him, maybe there's a reason why it worked for him and not for you. Are you getting this? Now see, as much as I want to convince you all, I want to convince our young people. I want to convince our kids. I want to convince people who still haven't made some of the major decisions with their life. Because some of us know what it's like when we make choices that turn out not to be God, right? Yeah. And what would happen if we had a revival breakout in our land where everybody started hearing the voice of God? Got to the point where they didn't want to do anything without hearing the voice of God. We're hungry to hear the voice of God. People who studied the scripture from one end to the other, but then also, by doing so, not only heard God speaking to them through the scripture, but learned to hear his voice enough so that they could figure out how to apply that scripture and where that needed to happen in their life and what that needed to do. There's just so much to this if every kid How many of you have heard there's a fentanyl crisis? Yeah. I can end it just like that. I get these people to hear the voice of God, and the voice of God says, don't do that. I don't need a law. I don't need a law if I could get people to listen to God's voice and agree with God. Pro-choice. I don't need a law. If they can hear the voice of God, they will make the right choice. If they can hear the voice of God. It's not, God says you better do that. It's, if you hear the voice of God, he'll help you make the right choices in everything you do. We've got questions about people's lifestyles in the century we're living in, right? Questions that most of us never could have imagined we would ever be dealing with. They don't need some kind of person telling them what to do. They need some kind of God telling them what to do. They need to have sup with God. And if they would have sup with God and really learn to what that means and find the love of God that they find in those times of sup with God, we wouldn't have to worry about the decisions they make. They would make the decisions God wants. Because they would realize how much God loves them and how much he wants to bless them. There's nothing you can leave here and do where God's not happy to sup with you. What do you think? Can we sup with God? All right. I'm going to end this with us all standing up. By the way, how many of you have had a loved one that you were trying to get to change something and you found that that was painful and hard and not possible? In some cases, you feel like it's impossible anyway. I got news for you. Just sup with God. You just need to sup with God and ask God to help them sup with God and love those people and show them what it's like to sup with God. And if you are the model of supping with God, then they will see how God's affecting your life and they'll say, tell me. And you can say, sup. Yeah, sup. And they'll go, what's up? So put your hands on your hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Wow. Jesus, I know you're knocking. I know you're calling. I know your voice is out there. I've had those times when I couldn't figure it out, and you were trying to get me not to figure it out, but just trust you. And sometimes that's hard, Lord. But you do know what's up, and you want us to sup with you. And you want us to have that peace that passes the understanding when everything seems to be going wrong and haywire and a mess. And so, Father, help us. Help us to refocus our lives in these days so that we can walk around on this planet with people looking and going, how do you do that? How does that work for you? And we can just say, it's that connection to the Father. It's that sup that we have with you, that moment of connection and fellowship that we have with you, and not just a moment, but a moment that lasts multiple moments every day, that just goes all day. Work in us, God. Change us. Cause us to realize, if you don't want it, we never wanted it either. We never wanted it either. And so show us, Lord, your goodness. And let us have the eyes to see it and the ears to hear it. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.